నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తి భవతి నైష్ఠికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 12 చాప్టర్ 3. Chapter is entitled The Bhumi Geet, text number 50 and 51.
Mriyamaneerabhidyeyo Bhagavan Parameshwarah Atmabhavam Nayatyangam ఆత్మభావం నయత్యంగ సర్వాత్మా సర్వసంశ్వయః మ్రియమాణేరభిధ్యేయో భగవాన్ పరమేశ్వరః ఆత్మభావం నయత్యంగ సర్వాత్మా సర్వసంశ్వయః మ్రియమాణేరభిధ్యేయో భగవాన్ పరమేశ్వరః ఆత్మభావం నయత్యంగ సర్వాత్మా సర్వసంశ్వయః. భగవాన్ పరమేశ్వరః ఆత్మభావం నయత్యంగ సర్వాత్మా సర్వసంశ్వయః మ్రియమాణేరభిధ్యేయో భగవాన్ పరమేశ్వరః ఆత్మభావం నయత్యంగ సర్వాత్మా సర్వసంశ్రయః.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. మై డియర్ కింగ్, ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్హెడ్ ఇస్ ద అల్టిమేట్ కంట్రోలర్. హీ ఈస్ ద సుప్రీం సోల్ అండ్ ద సుప్రీం షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్. When meditated upon by those about to die, he reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity. There is no purport to this verse. We will go on to the next verse, text number 51.
Kaler doshadnide rajan astihye ko mahan gunah kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangah param vrajet.
Translation. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Purport by the disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After mentioning the innumerable faults of this age of Kali, Shukdev Goswami now mentions its one brilliant aspect. Just as one powerful king can kill innumerable thieves, one brilliant spiritual quality can destroy all the contamination of this age. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of the chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, especially in this fallen age. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Jai Dhanyamano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim Yat kripa tamaham vande Shri Gurum dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Paramananda Madhavam
Hare Krishna. Translation of both the verses once again. My dear King, the personality of God is the ultimate controller. He is the supreme soul and the supreme shelter of all beings. When meditated upon by those about to die, He reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from the material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Hare Krishna. Just to beg blessings of all the devotees assembled, so that I can speak something worthwhile on this a very, very important verse that we are about to discuss. One of the most prominent verses that is most often quoted in the devotee circle by so many devotees. Although I feel quite unqualified to speak because I cannot do full justice to this verse. So much can be spoken, and of course last week, I remember last Tuesday actually, His Grace Akinchan Krishna Prabhu gave a brilliant talk on this beautiful verse, Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan, on the account of Holy Name Week celebration. So today I also take this privilege and opportunity to speak something on this verse, although I may fall short of my words in glorifying this beautiful verse. So this chapter is entitled Bhumi Geet, where Bhumi Devi or Mother Earth is vividly describing the foolishness of many, many kings who are bent on conquering her. Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit by telling that there are seven mothers, Atma Mata Gurur Patni, Brahmani Rajapatni Kaha, Dhenur Dhatri Tatha Prithvi Saptaita Matarah Smrita. So there are seven mothers in all, which Prabhupada quotes this verse. Atma Mata, one's own biological mother, Gurur Patni, wife of a spiritual master, the wife of a Brahmana, the wife of the king, Dhenu, cow, Dhatri is the nurse, and Prithvi or earth. So mother, so Bhumi Devi is our mother, she is Mother Earth. We call her, we address her as mother out of respect. Naturally, mother is always to be respected, honored and protected for all the sacrifice she does. And of course, mother is never to be exploited, for sure. And Earth is one of the mothers whom we respect and not exploit. Of course, this is the beauty of Vedic culture, where we are taught to live in harmony, not just with the people, but with the things and the surroundings around us. Because in Vedic culture, even an apparently appear thing is considered a person. What we may consider a thing, according to Vedic culture, is actually a personality. Like how we how we address Mother Earth or Mother Nature or Mother Ganga, or we worship the strongest of the trees like Ashwatha, or we even worship the delicate of the delicate Tulsi plant, or we worship mountains like Giriraj or Girinar, and so many things in nature are also being worshipped in Vedic culture. Because divinity, or seeing divinity, not just within oneself, but within, in and around of ourselves, is an integral part of Vedic culture. And here also, Bhumi, this entire chapter is called Bhumi Geet, where the beautiful, very intense emotions of Mother Earth or Bhumi Devi are brought forth by Shukdev Goswami. This Bhagavatam is so personal that Bhagavatam actually prods us. It inspires us to even understand the feelings and emotions of something that apparently appears to be a thing, like Mother Earth. But as we see, Bhumi Devi is not just a thing, but of course, Prithvi is one of the separated energies of the Lord, and she is the consort of the Supreme Lord. So Mother Earth has to be worshipped, respected. But here we see in this Bhumi Geet, Mother Earth is actually lamenting how the people of this age, the kings who are supposed to rule, the kings who are supposed to actually give protection, they are the ones who actually become the exploitators. And they are exploiting Mother Earth. So, we have heard this statement, like, we are meant to love people and use things. But it goes the other way in this world, where we love things and, or we use people and love things. But from the Vedic perspective, we are not just supposed to, love people, but we are also supposed to respect things lovingly. So basically, something that appears to be thing, but the thing is, they are not just thing. Like I remember when, right from our childhood days, when we were small, our mother, in case by chance, by mistake, we ended up touching our feet to the broom, jhadu. Now, jhadu is considered something, we don't worship actually jhadu, but we just keep it somewhere in the corner of the house. But even if we, by mistake, knowingly, unknowingly, end up touching our feet to the broom, mother would immediately tell, you should beg forgiveness. Now, something so insignificant like a broom is also being respected. Where if we end up touching our feet, or we end up touching some Vaishnavas are worshipable, definitely we beg forgiveness. Or something that falls down on the earth, something that drops down, we take it up, we pick it up and we touch it on our head, begging for forgiveness. So even the apparent things are respected lovingly in the Vedic culture. And here is Mother Earth, or in fact, Bhagavatam is teaching us how to see divinity, practically in and around.
Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati.
One who sees Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna, for that person Krishna is never lost to him, or he is never lost to Krishna. This is what Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita. So naturally Bhumi Devi is our mother, and someone who is giving shelter to all the living entities, someone who is giving so much to the to the people of this world, naturally she can't be exploited. But that same mother, when she's been exploited regularly, constantly, consistently, over and again, she has no other option but to approach the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Of course, she approaches all the demigods. Bhumi Devi approached demigods, and all the demigods on behalf of Bhumi Devi, they went and approached Lord Krishna. And they requested, pleaded Lord Krishna to appear. So in one sense, the credit goes to Bhumi Devi for Lord to appear in this world. Because even Lord Krishna cannot tolerate mothers being exploited. In fact, today, unfortunately in Kali Yuga, if you end up calling someone mother, like I went for a program one time, and somewhere here close by, and I mean this is our natural way of calling, that's a respectable way, a very great, that's an honorable way of calling a woman. We call Mataji, and it just comes by default, so I just said XYZ Mataji, and even to my surprise, this honored lady, she got so wild. Actually, she got annoyed. No, she said that, how can you call me Mataji? Do you think I look so elderly that you are calling me Mataji? I said, I'm sorry, but this is how we... No, this is just a way to respect, because ladies, women are to be respected. So then I also realized that probably people, even the best of the words, the respectable words, may not be considered respectable in this age by people. So when we say that Mother Earth can't be exploited, it's like an altogether different understanding. People just can't take it. They just can't think that Earth is also a mother. And here, Bhumi Devi is, why I'm speaking this, is there is a beautiful conversation that takes place in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam between Bhumi Devi or Mother Earth and Dharma, who took the form of a bull and a cow. So now, Bhumi Devi here in the Bhumi Gita is actually she is telling about the plight of this material world where so many kings appeared and they went. So many, she is actually witness to all the four yugas. She is the constant witness, like last Akinjan Krishnapu beautifully said that Mother Earth or Bhumi Devi, she is the best historian. She is the one who has witnessed practically past, present and future. Or she will continue to witness the future. So she's witness to all the four yugas. Now, so many people came, so many went. And all those who came, they were washed away by the waves of time. So practically, everyone who came here on this planet Earth, everyone more or less claimed her to be theirs. That means everyone claimed Bhumi Devi or Mother Earth to be their part, their country, their nation, their some section where people reside. But none of them could actually permanently have her in her life, in their lives. To the extent that Bhumi Devi's own son, Naraka, or Narakasur, also called as Bhomasur, she was born to Bhumi Devi. Even Bhumi Devi's own son, Bhomasur, of course, Bhoma became Asur by coming in contact with one of the demons, Banasur, yes. So, Bhomasur, although born to Mother Earth, became burden to Mother Earth.
And she is not feeling separation from her own son in the first canto. In the first canto we see Mother Earth is Bhumi Devi is feeling separation from whom? She is not feeling separation from her own son Bhauma whom she lost. Of course Krishna came to reduce the burden, and because Bhaumasura became the burden, so naturally he has to be exterminated. And Mother Earth, she is feeling intense separation. She is not impressed by any of the kings. She is not feeling separation from any of the kings who came and who went. But she is feeling separation from Lord Krishna. And of course we know how Krishna, she is the only personality, Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi is the only personality who received constant association of Krishna. She is the witness to all the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. And it was she who pleaded Lord Krishna to appear in this world. So what is the fortunate position of Bhumi Devi? And Shukdev Goswami here in this chapter of Bhumi Geet, is actually sharing Mother Earth's or Bhumi Devi's realization. Of course, in the first canto, Mother Earth is feeling separation. Kava saheta viraha purushottamasya premava loka ruchira smita valgu jalpe sthairya samana, Sairya samanam aharam madhumaninanam romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitayah. Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi is feeling separation, and she is sharing her separation with Dharma. And she is telling that when Lord Krishna appeared, that was the actual time when I was truly in bliss. That was the only time when I actually flourished and prospered. And then, after quoting this verse, Bhumi Devi, she describes to Dharma 40 qualities of Lord Krishna. There are these beautiful qualities of Lord Krishna being described by Bhumi Devi to Dharma in the first canto. And after describing those 40 qualities, now she says that, Ete chanye cha bhagavan nitya yatra mahan gunaha. So Lord Krishna is the possessor, or Lord Krishna is the abode of Mahan Guna. And today's verse that we are discussing, Kale dosha nidhe rajan astihi eko Mahan Guna. Kirtana deva Krishnasya. So what is that one quality? One great quality of Kali Yuga is glorification of that personality who is the abode or reservoir of all the great qualities. Which is explained by Bhumi Devi in the first canto. Of course, Prabhupada in the purport to that verse, when Bhumi Devi is explaining all the 40 qualities, Prabhupada quotes one more beautiful verse. Yova anantasya gunan anantan anukramishyati satubala buddhi. Rajamsi bhumer ganayen kathanchit kalena naiva akhila shakti dhamna. That Lord just doesn't possess 40 qualities. Lord possess unlimited qualities. Yova anantasya gunan anantan. That Supreme Lord who is ananta has ananta qualities. Just as there are unlimited dust particles on the planet Earth, and no one can count those innumerable dust particles. Rajamsi bhume. Similarly, no one can ever count the unlimited qualities of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, Sri Krishna. So Krishna is the abode of so many beautiful divine qualities. And when we chant the names of that one personality, that is enough to eradicate all the bad qualities of this age. It is enough to eradicate all the contamination. Kaler dosha nidhe. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrut, Lord Krishna, one of the names of Lord Krishna is Guna Nidhi. Guna Nidhi, Nidhi means ocean. So, one who has oceanic qualities is called Guna Nidhi. And here, this verse that we are discussing today explains Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. So Kali Yuga is Kaliyuga is dosha nidhi, but Krishna is guna nidhi, where he is the abode of unlimited oceanic qualities. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Ami jiva shudra buddhi sahajeya sthira Ishwarela lila koti samudra gambhira. So Venkat Bhatt, while he's having discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's telling, Ami jiva shudra buddhi. We are insignificant living entities, and our intelligence cannot understand the oceanic pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Ishwarela lila koti samudra gambhira. So Krishna's pastimes are oceanic, Krishna's qualities are oceanic, and Krishna himself is oceanic, because everything lies within Krishna. So what is dosha nidhi in compared to guna nidhi Krishna? That kaler dosha nidhi is nothing in compared to Krishna's presence, or one personality Krishna, who can actually terminate, who can actually remove all the contamination of this world. Kripara samudra dina hine dayamoy, Krishna kripa vina kona sukha nahi hoy. Kripara samudra. Now we all know Krishna, hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. No, here also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse explains Kripara Samudra Dina Hina Dayamoy. Lord Krishna is ocean of mercy, and he is the Lord of all the Dina and Hina. Without Lord Krishna, there cannot be any true happiness in this world. So Krishna's qualities are oceanic. So basically, Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited quality, and each quality of Krishna is oceanic. So Krishna is the abode of unlimited oceans. Of course, oceans of beautiful qualities. So naturally, ocean is something which is immeasurable, or something which is length, breadth, width cannot be truly, properly, accurately measured, because it's mind-boggling. It's beyond someone's capacity. So, like, we have these five major oceans in this world. Right from Arctic Ocean to Southern Ocean to Indian Ocean to Atlantic Ocean to Pacific Ocean. Now these are the five oceans. The Arctic Ocean is the smallest of all the oceans, and Pacific is the biggest and the deepest of all the oceans. So Arctic Ocean is also an ocean, Indian Ocean is also an ocean, and Pacific Ocean is also an ocean. But all these three oceans vary in size and in depth. Similarly, Kaler Dosha Nidhi is also an ocean. So Kaliyuga is full of oceanic faults, but that Kaler Dosha Nidhi cannot stand in front of Krishna, which is Guna Nidhi. It is said that this Arctic Ocean occupies 6.3 million square miles of space, which is the smallest of all the oceans. When the Arctic Ocean is frozen, polar bear actually walks on this surface of Arctic Ocean. But this Arctic Ocean is 1.5 times bigger than the entire state of America, United States of America. But this Arctic Ocean is the smallest, and the Pacific Ocean, Arctic Ocean occupies 6.3 million square miles. Pacific Ocean occupies 63 million square miles. And it is said that all the seven continents can actually fit in. All the seven continents can actually fit within Pacific Ocean. And Pacific Ocean contains practically half of the water of this planet Earth. So what is Arctic Ocean, or what is Indian Ocean in front of Pacific? So what is Kaliyuga's power, Kaliyuga's so-called contamination cannot stand in front of all pure or oceanic qualities of Krishna. So even we all know that beautiful pastime of Mrid Bhakshan Leela, when Mother Yashoda, Krishna ate dirt, Mother Yashoda told Krishna to open his mouth, and Krishna opened his mouth and Mother Yashoda could see practically everything, because everything lies within Krishna, Krishna's body. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avasitha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, matsthani sarvabhutani. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So, it is also said that when Krishna appeared personally as Purna Purushottam, all the incarnations simultaneously appeared within the body of Krishna. So that's why Krishna is considered as Purna Avatar of all the incarnations. Of course, he's Avatari for sure. But he is complete. There is nothing outside of him. So now someone may say, okay, Krishna was present then, but now Krishna is not present physically. And you are saying, Kirtana Deva Krishna se Mukta Sangha Param Rajet. So, we can understand this phenomena of how even Naam or Krishna Naam is far more potent than Krishna's personality. So even though Krishna is not present physically here with us, Krishna's name is equally potent. Now we all know the power of Krishna Naam Prabhu's signature. Yes? Now Krishna Naam Prabhu may not be there, but Krishna Naam Prabhu's signature or his name. Now signature is what? Signature is nothing but a name of person. No, you just write it in a very nice, probably your cursive handwriting or whatever. So Krishna Naam Prabhu may not be there, but if Krishna Naam Prabhu's signature is there, then that signature is enough to withdraw lakhs and lakhs of rupees. So a person may not be present, but when that person has influence, when that person is powerful, then the name also becomes powerful. Like we say, if we want to get some work done, so then we go in some government official and just give the name of XYZ. I am coming on behalf of, say, Prime Minister such and such. Just by hearing the name of Prime Minister, all your work is done. Or forget about Prime Minister, even a local MLA. So if a person's absence can also create so much power just because that name is uttered, what to speak of Lord Krishna's name? Naam naam akari bahuda nija sarva shakti. All the power are invested, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, within Lord Krishna's name. There is no purna shuddho nitya mukto abhinnatvam nama namino. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and his name. So name is equally potent. That's why this verse is actually very hope giving. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Kale Dosha Nide Rajan Astiye Ko Mahanguna Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. This verse is actually a reliever, or it's a great hope giving verse. As the saying goes, every dark cloud has a silver lining. Now what does the silver lining indicate? When the silver lining is seen around the cloud, that means there is sun somewhere behind the cloud, because of which the silver lining is seen. That means very soon the sun will actually rise and the clouds will dissipate, the clouds will disappear. That means the statement says, every dark cloud has a silver lining. So basically it conveys that there is a hope behind every worst of the situation. And Shukdev Goswami has now explained elaborately in three chapters practically, chapter number 1, 2, 3 of this 12th canto, about the symptoms of the Kali. So many symptoms, which the worst of the symptoms that we are seeing and we are yet to see. No, that will escalate in due course of time. And we see, so basically so much problem has been discussed, but the purpose of discussing so many problem was to bring us to this verse, that although there is so much, so many problems in this world, but still there is a solution to all the problems. And naturally, everyone in this world is looking for solution. No, there may be so many problems, but Srimad Bhagavatam is not just speaking about problems. Srimad Bhagavatam also offers us the solution, a practical solution, a pragmatic solution. Now it's been 6 months since the lockdown began. And we all can witness and perceive the problem that's still lying, still continuing all around us. And people are desperately looking for a solution. All that the government, the doctor, they are doing their best, no doubt. They are doing their part. But all that they could offer till now is something superficial. The solution that is offered is quite superficial and quite short-lived. And of course, many a time the solution itself is super complex to solve any problem. So, all that people are looking for, or all that people are desperate for, is solution. They don't want to hear problems. They themselves have enough problem. Bhagavatam has to offer solution to the world. And if we can just understand, or if we can just understand the gravity of the verse that's being spoken today, we can actually overcome the problems, at least in our own spiritual life, in a sadhaka's life, definitely. So in Kali Yuga, the solution that's offered are quite short-lived, or they are quite superficial, or probably super complex. But Prabhupada, in one of the lectures in 1973 when he gave at London, Prabhupada is quoting this verse, and Prabhupada is saying that this material world is full of contamination. People are looking for vaccine. When there is contamination, now the whole world is waiting for vaccine to appear. When will vaccine descend? When will vaccine take avatar? So the whole world is waiting, and Prabhupada is telling that this material world is filled with contamination. Kaler dosh indi rajan. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra or Krishna Kirtan is like that vaccine which can actually immune us from the contamination that's there around. And interestingly, what happens in this age is because people don't have proper solution, and when we hear so many symptoms of Kali Yuga, so naturally we may tend to go to extremes. Extreme in the sense, people become shameless. Shameless in the sense, okay, now Kali Yuga is anyways progressing, and there is so much degradation. Now there is so much degradation that is happening, and it is bound to happen in future. So might as well, let's become shameless and let's take up to all the sinful activity. Why not? Because ultimately everything is going to drop down to sinful activity. So that is one extreme that people may take up to, where they may turn becoming shameless. Like, there was one girl in the college, and there was one chemistry class going on. And the chemistry class was going on, and professor asked this girl, "What is nitrate?" Now, we all know what is nitrate. Nitrate is a salt or an ester of nitric acid. Now this girl gave a very surprising answer. Girl, when she was asked what is nitrate, she said, "Sir, aap bhi." Theek hai, agar aapne pucha hi hai, toh main keh deti hoon ki mera nitrate 5,000 rupees per hour hai. No, this is what she took, nitrate. Unfortunately. No, the height of shamelessness, sometimes we see in this world, people just go to any extent. And the other extreme could be people become hopeless. So much degradation, what can be done? Nothing can be done, no solution. Let's die. No? Abhi pandemic chal hi raha hai, kuch solution nahi aa raha hai. No? Abhi bas marna, ek din to marna hi hai, sab bahar nikal ke marte hai na. So people become hopeless actually. They try their best, but then when the solutions are not offered, they go to the other extreme of becoming hopeless. So we have to try to, we have to try to balance where we, in this age, as sadhakas, we don't turn out to be shameless, by engaging in all the sinful activities, just because Kali Yuga is going to degrade. And we don't become hopeless also, just because there seems no solution. And this verse, this verse of the Bhagavatam is such a hope-giving verse, where we as sadhakas, have the hope against hope, no chance to progress ahead. Whatever may happen, although Krishna himself tells in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is a miserable place, but still Krishna comes again and again to restore this material world. Although Krishna came or appeared during the time when things were so hopeless, Krishna created, Krishna kindled hope in this world by appearing and destroying all the demons. Prabhupada kindled hope in this world of hopelessness by offering us this solution, this hope in the form of Krishna Kirtan. And ultimately, who is speaking this verse? This verse is spoken by number one best Kirtaniya, that is Shukdev Goswami. We all glorify Shukdev Goswami as the best person. Who, no one can be a better Kirtaniya than Shukdev Goswami, glorifying Lord Krishna's glory. And Shukdev Goswami himself is a self-realized. Of course, he was a Brahmavadi before. No, he came in touch with Nairgunya, Parinisthitopi Nairgunya, Uttama Shloka Leelaya. So initially he was a Brahmavadi, a Brahman realized. So Shukdev Goswami could have said, Kale Dosha Nidhe Rajan Astihi Eko Mahan Guna Dhyanat Eva Brahmasya or Paramatasya or whatever, how Sanskrit pronounced, I don't know. He could have said. He did not even use the word Kirtanadeva Vishnusya. He specifically uses the word Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. And this is what is a great hope. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he was jubilantly chanting that verse, Etam cha asthaya paratmanishtha. And then he says, Aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva yaiva. That I will definitely cross over the cycle of birth and death, or I will definitely cross over the ocean of birth and death. Tamo mukundangri, by taking the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So sometimes people may say, okay, Krishna Kirtan is enough kya? Bas itna hi kafi hai, nothing more. So as we say, don't go on externals. Last time, I think last week, Akinjan Krishna Prabhu gave this example of how a one spark of fire can burn down a mountain of cotton. Or probably we know, we have seen how one small, invisible, imperceptible, insignificant virus has created such a major havoc in the world today. No one sees. No one can see this virus. But the impact it creates is something beyond imagination. If you just inhale few fumes of cyanide, that few fumes of cyanide is enough to create cyanide poisoning in your body. Or probably one air ticket. No, one air ticket can help us cross the ocean. You cannot cross the ocean on your own, but that one air ticket is enough. It can help you cross the ocean. Or one small chip can contain oceanic information of the books of all the books of all the libraries in this world. That one small chip, no matter, we don't know how many GBs and TBs of information can be stored in that one chip. So, Krishna, we underestimate. And here this verse says that it is impossible to overestimate the importance of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So it is actually, we actually end up underestimating. But we cannot even, it's impossible to overestimate. That's why, Shukdev Goswami is telling us, he's coming to this verse and he's telling, do not focus on the first three chapters. That is all bound to happen. Kali Yuga will take its course and all these things are bound to happen. Focus on this one thing. That Bhagavatam which tells that Kali Yuga is full of faults, that same Bhagavatam also says that Kali Yuga is also worshipable. Kalim sabha jayantyarya gunagya sarabhagina yatra sankirtanai naiva sarvaswartho vilabhyate. Sarvaswartho vilabhyate. All the all one's desired goal can be achieved by sankirtan, because that is sar, that is the essence, and this is what Bhagavatam recurrently teaches us, how to be sar grahi. What is that beautiful verse? Saranga eva nanu dvesti kalim samrat saranga eva sarbog kushlani ashu siddhyanti netarani kratani yat. So Bhagavatam is ultimately is inspiring all of us to focus on the essence, and this verse is essence, because nothing is impossible for Krishna. Krishna can turn the ocean of faults into a beautiful land of Vrindavan. And we see how Prabhupada, by creating this ISKCON temples all across the world, Prabhupada has actually created oasis in the middle of desert. So how Krishna Naam or Krishna Kirtan can actually, Krishna can actually do wonders. Ambodhi salatam salam jaladitam dhuli lavai shailatam shailo mritkanatam trinam kulishatam vajram trinakshinatam vanhi shitalatam himam dahanatam ayati yasyechaya lila durlalitadbhuta vyasanine krishnayatasmai nama. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. Ambodhi salatam salam jaladitam. Krishna can turn an ocean into a dry land, and he can turn a dry land into ocean. He can turn a severe inferno of fire into a beautiful snowy peak, or he can turn it otherwise, because this is the potency, this is the power of Krishna, because he is all powerful. Just as one ray of sun is enough to dissipate the darkness of millions of years, similarly, this name, Krishna Naam, is enough to undo all the contamination. That's why Prabhupada often quotes this verse, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar, Jahar Krishna Tahar Nahi Mayar Adhikar. If we try on our own to dissipate darkness, probably it may not be possible. We may try to chop, we may think, okay, I will chop this darkness, I will kill this darkness, I will beat up this darkness down. On our own, it's not possible. All that we have to do is just open the curtain, let the light come. Once light enters, the darkness will automatically, it's bound to disappear. We don't have to make a separate endeavor on our own to get rid of the contamination. All that we have to bring in is the all pure Krishna. So, many a times we try to get rid of Maya. Oh, this is neti, neti, neti. No, this is Maya, this is Maya, this is not, this is not. Our Acharyas tells us to focus more on Krishna than on Maya. Because no, artha pravritti is more important than anartha nivritti. No, if we focus that, okay, I want to get rid of my anarthas, probably we will never be able to. But it is Krishna, if we bring Krishna in more and more within our mind, within our consciousness, then yes, what is impossible? And so we have to work on bringing Krishna more within our mind rather than driving out Maya. And of course, there are different ways by which we can bring in Krishna. That's individual. Someone can just get connected to Krishna through the holy names, through Kirtan, through Bhagavatam, through deity worship. So, even although this process is universal, but still within universal process, there is individuality offered to everyone, where every individual can choose what, through what he or she can connect to Krishna the most. The problem comes. Our struggle, this is a beautiful statement spoken by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He says, our struggle becomes intense. Our struggle becomes intense when we try to drive away Maya without finding out the best ways and means of absorbing in Krishna. So, if we find our nature, Braj Mohan Prabhu gave such a beautiful class on Sunday, identifying your nature. If we can identify our nature and what is the best ways and means by which we can connect to Krishna the most, then that is far more recommended rather than trying to drive away Maya from our life. Just as if the glass is empty, and the glass will have, naturally the empty glass will have lot of air. You try to suck out the air from the glass, no matter how much you try, you may even try to use a suction pump to drive away that air from the water and air from the glass, still some air will definitely remain. But if you just fill up that glass with water, the air is automatically going to go out. You don't have to make a separate endeavor of moving out the air. Similarly, when it comes to controlling the mind, all that we have to do is bring in Krishna more every day when we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. More we try to focus on Krishna, we can easily fix or get rid of the contamination around. Yavan mano rajasa purushasya sattvena va tamasa vatiruddha. This is a beautiful verse from the fifth canto where Shukdi Goswami is telling that our mind is like an uncontrollable elephant or a mad elephant. How can we control a mad elephant? A mad elephant is beyond our control. But a mahout or a person who knows how to control the elephant just uses one smallest of the small stick called ankush to control that huge elephant. Similarly, Hare Krishna Mahamantra may appear to be small, appear to be just combination of few letters, but it is as powerful, like that ankush when it comes to controlling a mad elephant like mind. So, when Parikshit Maharaj, he awarded 5 places to Kali, those 5 places, the gold and the meat eating, gambling, intoxication, where Kali can reside, Kali can prominently play its part. So, Parikshit Maharaj was very happy that yes, at least Kali Yuga has 2 good qualities. The one quality is by chanting the holy names, one can get rid of all the contamination. And second is, whatever you do mentally, you get the, even if you think something mentally, you can get the effect or you can get the desired result. Even you may not be able to do it personally in action. So Parikshit Maharaj was very happy. But at that point of time, Kali personified was laughing
at Parikshit Maharaj. No, Gaur Krishna Maharaj, he beautifully explains that Parikshit Maharaj was Kali Yuga or Kali personified was laughing sarcastically. So Parikshit Maharaj asked, "You are laughing. What is the reason why you are laughing?" So Kali Yuga, this Kali personified, said that the reason why I am laughing is I am laughing on your mentality. You are thinking that Krishna will sidetrack me when people chant Krishna's name, but I will not even allow people to chant Krishna's name. Main Bhagwan Krishna ka naam lene dunga tabhi to kuch hoga na. This is what Gaur Krishna Maharaj says. So naturally that's the challenge. To chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a challenge. But a bigger challenge is to chant Hare Krishna attentively. And a far more bigger challenge than chanting Hare Krishna attentively is to chant Hare Krishna attentively and with the right consciousness of Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna. Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Just like in Ayurveda, now when you take a medicine, now medicine itself is potent. Just like a Hare Krishna Mahamantra itself is potent. But in Ayurveda, there is something called as Anupan. A medicine has been recommended, medicine is being told to take with certain Anupan. Say, hot water. So you take a medicine with hot water, or you take a medicine with honey, or you take a medicine with milk, or you take medicine with ghee and sugar. So these are called Anupan. Now what is the purpose of this Anupan? This Anupan helps to helps like catalyst, and it actually will intensify the potency of the holy name. Intensify the potency of the medicine that you take. Similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is itself potent, no doubt. But when you chant with attention, that has far more potency. And when we chant with this consciousness of being a humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then that's like an icing on the cake. So this is the challenge in Kali Yuga. We may chant the holy names, but the bigger challenge is to chant with attention and with this right proper spirit. In fact, that was the faith that Srila Prabhupada had, that faith in the holy name that Prabhupada made the basis of our Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada took this holy name all around. Didn't. So this is a very powerful statement. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj says that this was the conviction with which Prabhupada came to America. In fact, when Prabhupada took sannyas, we all know this pastime. When Prabhupada took sannyas, there was this sannyas ceremony and there was fire sacrifice going on. And Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj was chanting at that time. And in the middle of the fire sacrifice, the priest told Babaji Maharaj that you please chant. And Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj started chanting. Now, when the priest had to perform the next ceremony, he told Babaji Maharaj to stop chanting. But Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj, he started chanting softly. Prabhupada, he looked at Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj and he said, "Hey, keep chanting, keep chanting." So when Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj heard Prabhupada saying this during his sannyas ceremony, Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj understood that this person will actually become the world leader for the Hare Krishna movement our sampradaya. So Akinchan Krishnas Babaji Maharaj, he understood that because Prabhupada had so much immense faith, that was the result. One time Prabhupada was in Juhu, on the terrace, and he was taking massage. It was evening time. And Prabhupada suddenly asked one devotee named Haridas Prabhu. Prabhupada asked him, "Do you hear the sound of kirtan?" So Haridas Prabhu, he said, "No, Prabhupada, I can't hear the sound of kirtan." Prabhupada said, "See, hear properly. Don't you hear the sound of kirtan?"
said, "No, Prabhupada, I can't hear the sound of kirtan." Prabhupada said, "That's the thing I am asking. There is no kirtan happening now. It's 7 o'clock in the evening. There is no kirtan happening in the temple hall. Where are all the devotees?" So Haridas Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, maybe they have gone for fund collection and now it's evening time." Prabhupada said, "What is the point of fund collection? No, if the devotees can't come in the evening in front of the deities and do kirtan for the Lord." Prabhupada said, "No, devotees should go early morning, not early morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, but they should come back in the evening and do kirtan, because kirtan is our only weapon," Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada said, "You know why we were successful and not Mr. N? Mr. N was very influential. Mr. N had a lot of money. Mr. N was actually the owner of the Free Press Journal. And Mr. N was the, you know, he was the sheriff of Bombay. But still, you know, we were successful and not Mr. N. Do you know why? Because all that we did, all the attempts were made to please Krishna. Because we were trying to please Krishna, it was Krishna who reciprocated. No? And it was Krishna who made this project a success. So Prabhupada never took credit for himself, but he actually knew that the reason behind this Hare Krishna movement being flourishing, it's because of the holy name, which is like the backbone, or which is like the soul, no, in the body of ISKCON. And I'll just end with this one pastime where Prabhupada was very old, in very fragile. It was in the year 1977 when Prabhupada actually could not even walk properly. And during that time, Prabhupada's very close friend, Mr. Sethi. Now, Mr. Sethi was connected to some group in Vrindavan. So his guru was from Vrindavan, and he was connected to this group called Radha Madhav Prem Sudha Sankirtan Mandal. So this group would every Sunday would perform 12-hour Harinam Sankirtan from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And they would go to different homes and perform Harinam Sankirtan. So one day Mr. Sethi, he told Prabhupada, "Can we get this group to our Hare Krishna land and they can do kirtan from morning 6 till evening 6? Prabhupada was very happy. Prabhupada said, "Yes, why not?" So this kirtan group came and they performed kirtan from morning 6 till evening 6. And at one point of time, Prabhupada was just listening from his quarters where he was staying, because Prabhupada couldn't get up. So Prabhupada, he was just lying down, reclining, and Prabhupada was trying to hear. But all these devotees who were from this group, no, Radha Madhav Prem Sudha Mandal, they wanted to have darshan of Prabhupada. They wanted Prabhupada to come down. So what they did, they started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra as loud as they could. And Mr. Sethi, he went to Prabhupada and he requested, "Prabhupada, if you can't come down, at least if you can come to your balcony and give your darshan to this entire group." So this entire group, they got up from where they were chanting in front of the deities and they went down, no, to the building where Prabhupada was staying. And they started tumultuous kirtan. And all these devotees, they were expecting, anticipating Prabhupada to come. And finally Prabhupada came in his balcony and Prabhupada gave his darshan. And when Prabhupada gave his darshan, these devotees, they started chanting, "Jai Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jayo Shri Radhe." And then Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. And these devotees were so happy that Prabhupada, we could please Prabhupada. So Giriraj Maharaj, he writes in his diary, that Prabhupada was so happy that next day, Prabhupada called Giriraj Maharaj and Prabhupada told Giriraj Swami, "Yesterday's kirtan was wonderful, isn't it?" So Giriraj Maharaj said, "Yes, Prabhupada." And then Prabhupada said, "We also should have 12 hours kirtan every day from morning 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now Giriraj Maharaj at that time was president of Jew temple. Now Jew temple was under construction. There were so many services with less devotees. He was handling so many affairs. He was handling the construction crew. He was handling the devotees. He was handling all the different disease that devotees were going through. And so he said, Prabhupada, there are so less devotees and we have so much seva to do. How can we have 12 hours kirtan every day? So then Prabhupada said, okay, if you can't have 12 hours kirtan every day, at least on Sunday, we should have 12 hours kirtan from morning 6 till evening 6. Giriraj Maharaj said, yes Prabhupada, I am so happy, we will definitely have 12 hours kirtan on Sunday. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he heard this, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada is such an expert businessman. Prabhupada actually did the transcendental bargaining. If Prabhupada would have told right at the beginning that you have to do 12-hour kirtan every single, only on Sunday, then probably we would have said, no Prabhupada, just 4 hours kirtan. But then Prabhupada, he went, telling 12 hours kirtan every day, then he could manage us to, manage to convince us to have at least one day 12 hours kirtan. So Giriraj Maharaj said, we all were actually understanding how much priority Prabhupada wanted to give for kirtan even in the midst of so much that was happening in the Hare Krishna land. And then Giriraj Maharaj concludes by telling that we started this 12-hour kirtan on every Sunday. He said that was the relief. He said, all the anxieties, all the problems that we had from Monday to Saturday were actually solved, were actually dissolved when we came together and sat together and did kirtan in front of the deities. And he said, so many devotees would approach me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for so many problems that I was handling, and I would try to give some solutions. And solutions would work, may not work. But what I would do is I would tell devotees, give me some days to think over. And I would tell devotees to wait till Sunday. And devotees, when they would come and sit together, Giriraj Maharaj writes, two things would happen. The problems never remained a problem. Or devotees could get the solution of the problem by sitting in kirtan together. And he said, this is how we actually crossed over the insurmountable obstacles that came on the path in constructing this Juhu temple. So he was glorifying the holy name and he was telling, Prabhupada had this faith. So Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, he quotes this verse. He says that, Kalakshepo nakartavyo kshinam ayu kshane shane yamasya karuna nasti kartavyam harikirtanam. Kalakshepo nakartavyo. No one can control time. No one can control Yamraj. Yamraj, yamasya karuna nasti. Yamraj will never show mercy upon any fallen soul. Therefore, ayu kshinam kshane shane. The time is passing, the time is clicking. Kartavyam Hari Kirtanam. This is the only way. Harir Naam Eva Kevalam. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. So it may appear that process of Krishna Kirtan is a gradual evolutionary. It may appear that this process of Krishna Kirtan is a gradual evolutionary, but for sure, the result is revolutionary. And if we have this faith, we can actually cross. We can cross over the insurmountable oceanic faults of Kali Yuga. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I'm so sorry to go overboard, but I just thought it's for my purification. Thank you for your kind patience and hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.